Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Are listening to Dr. Michelle Live. You can call or text 573-4BRED-4, 573-4BRED-4. You can email me dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. You can give me anything you choose to give me, give to me, say to me, suggest to me, ask me. You can do it all. It's been a beautiful weekend wherever you are. I know some of you are buried in snow. I talked to several people over the weekend that had limited visibility, were stuck in their houses, could not go to jobs, could not do certain things. And the second week of Lent began under a pile of snow. Others of us, myself included, in Southern California, were wondering, why is it so hot? Up into the 80s and 90s with the sun shining. Right now, the sun is brilliant, kind of reminiscent of living in Arizona, which I did. Many of you heard me when I was out there, a couple years ago. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. I saw some hummingbirds yesterday and was reminded that the hummingbird is a symbol of the joy of God. So we have to be reminded of that all the time. So I want to talk today a little bit. We talked last week, and you can check out the past archived podcasts by getting the app, the iTunes app, always there at your fingertips, or you can log on to the main website, breadboxmedia.com, or you can go to breadboxmedia.podbean.com, and that takes you pretty much right to today's podcast from all the contributors. And over to the right is a list of contributors. You scroll down to Dr. Michelle Live, click on that, and you have access to all the past archives. So we talked about eating disorders and Lent and fasting and all kinds of problems that come up from that, and different kinds of eating disorders, who gets them, why, how to connect that with fasting and spirituality, and how not to slip into the seduction of doing things that look good on the outside, but you got a secret agenda on the inside, such as controlling your food intake or perhaps losing weight, and also getting triggered on the reverse of that. It's not that you're doing something wrong or bad. We get triggered by certain things. We get triggered into, if we want to do something, even if we are so out of our illness, we've had such good luck, we're doing pretty good, and for a good, honest, noble reason, we want to fast or we want to give something up, and then we get triggered into that control, we get triggered into the fasting, we get triggered into the perhaps maybe the PTSD of what caused us to become bulimic in the first place. And as I said last week, there's lots of reasons. Oftentimes, if you're on a medication and you have a problem, look to your medication too. Don't get off your medication. But if you can go back and say, you know, what's different in this picture? What is different in my life? And you know what? You can do this with so many different things. Let's say you're pretty much living your regular life and you have your ups and your downs. You have your good days, bad days. Sometimes you feel depressed. Sometimes you feel happy. Sometimes you're in the middle. And then you start noticing a big change in any direction, or people are noticing it. Look to see first in your life, what's changed? What's different? Am I getting less sleep? Have I changed my diet? Has the weather changed? Have I taken on more responsibility or given up some responsibility? Certain things in your life, be an archaeologist and an anthropologist. Take a look, be an investigator in your own life and make sense with it. Like you're uncovering the different layers. When I say archaeologists, they start up and think, oh, I see a little tip of something here. Looks like there might be something more underneath. And you have to kind of take those little brushes and those little picks and pick away and see what's under. What's the next layer, next layer? And one of the things that comes up often that we just don't think about is we took a medication that we hadn't been taken before. It could be something that you get at your grocery store, just the typical stuff you can get at any store, including gas station stores and Quick Trips, just because you feel a little achy or you have a headache. So a lot of your non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, your ibuprofens and all the other acetaminophens, which are the Tylenols and aspirins and stuff, those have their own problems with them, can. So it could just be that. Or you could have gone to the doctor and mentioned something, maybe not even the biggest thing. Maybe you just have a few aches and pains or you had a little upset stomach and they say, well, here, take this. And then you don't even think about it again, and yet things happen. Now, the older you are sometimes, or the younger you are, the more that occurs. And we don't think about it. We relate the behavior, the change in behavior, or the change in mood to something more external than that. We just don't put it together. So put it together. Start looking at that. That happened in my own life recently with my father, who is very, very elderly, and who had a stroke, recovered as best he could, still some residual, but doing fine. And a lot of complaints of weakness, a lot of problems with balance, more so thinking that maybe another stroke. Of course, that's a lot of stress on everyone, including him, on us too, because that means that this is just something that's occurring. He goes to the doctor and they give him something, what they don't find out, but it took a week or so to finally go, wait a minute, maybe this is part of it. They had given him a pain medication and nothing big and heavy, but something different. And for someone very elderly, they are very, very, very sensitive. Their filters are not as strong as those younger. So we could trace it back to that one little medication, which wasn't even a necessary one. It was just something to help with some discomfort. So all that to say, anthropologist, archaeologist, investigator, however you want to look at it, you're doing little by little by little by little. You're just uncovering layers to find out, who are you? Why are you going through what you're going through? All right, so all that it begins our prelude and our foreway into this week's topic. We're going to be looking at the second week in Lent, and we're going to be looking at, I want to read to you something that came from online ministries from Creighton University, and which is great, on their Lenten thoughts, Lenten prayers. And it ties in last week with this week in what we were talking about, because it asks the question, what are we giving up for Lent? What are you giving up for Lent? It asks that question, but it tells us, hey, let's maybe not ask that question. Let's ask a different question. Let's turn this on its ear a little bit and see what can occur for positive change in your life. And again, there are many different reasons, many different things we are supposed to take from Lent. But part of it is a change of heart, a change of mind. Remember the scripture, renew your mind. Renew your mind. That sounds so now. That's scriptural. Renew your mind. God will renew your mind. That's pretty awesome. Renew. And that's what we're going to be, that's what we're striving for, is a renewal, a resurrection of that which was natural to us and implanted in us as human beings. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at what is deliberate living. It's kind of a buzzword, I suppose, now. It's, you can look at it as mindfulness, deliberate living, all these little words, but basically it's about living the way that we were probably intended to live in the first place without having to put it in a new modern term or refine the terms or discover some big ancient secret that we have to buy a book about. But it is a stepwise way of getting us to a place where we can regain, we're not lost in a cesspool, basically, of our own confused living. Getting all that, I mean, have you ever had boxes pile up from Amazon because you decide that it's easier to go ahead and get certain products online, which it is, because maybe you have little kids at home and it's hard and it's raining and or it's snowing. So it's easy to get all those different boxes, and all of a sudden all those cardboard boxes are piling up, and what do you do with them? And then you start getting concerned about the waste and the recycling and all these things. That's one tiny example. And then something doesn't fit. And then you forget to take it back. And then it loads up in a closet. And then pretty soon you've got a lot going on in your life that is weighing you down. Same with our food and our food choices. I've been in kitchens that have been so filled with one package, one commercial suggestion after another, and yet nobody ever eats at home. They're always going out to eat, and then pretty soon they throw everything away and then they restock again. So let's take a look at this on the other side of the break. Let's look at deliberate living. I want to look at the question maybe we should be asking for Lent and a way to start beginning the walk to change our habits as we walk through this Lenten season. This is Dr. Michelle. See you after the break.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Michelle. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. 573-4BREAD-4. You can text or call that number, 573-4BREAD-4. We are live right now, so you can weigh in. How have you been doing? Any thoughts on the eating disorder stuff or fasting or Lent or changing habits? How do you do it? What has your experience been? What about people you know? These are all good, meaningful discussions, suggestions, comments, too much of one thing, not enough of another, anything. It's all fair game on this road together. It really is. All right. Think about it like we're in little wagon trains and we just need to pack our little wagons, each one of us individually, and we share when we need to share. And we're all going to the same place. All right. So I'm going to first get into the concept of this going deeper into Lent that I hope I will, Lennon, my producer, our producer at Breadbox Media, can put on the show notes a link to the online ministries of Creighton University, which is Lent. And this is called Beyond Chocolate, Going Deeper in Lent. And I really like this. It's really short, so I will read this to you. Actually, it's not that short. All right, here we go. From the time we were children, our first question for Lent was often, what are we going to give up for Lent? What are you going to give up for Lent? Giving something up for these 40 days is a custom that, when we were younger, helped us enter into the season with a sense of purpose and greater awareness. As adults, we might want to consider looking at Lent in a deeper way. We are probably much more settled into our behaviors and patterns of life, and sometimes giving up something is where we begin and end our reflections on Lent. It can be tempting to say, I'm giving up chocolate, or beer, or even all sweets and all alcohol. But without more reflection, it can become simply a way I show God how strong I am. It is more about me than any conversation with God. Lent isn't simply about us giving up something. The real grace is when we recognize that Lent is a season in which God wants to give us something. God wants to help us transform our lives and make us more free as people, not just freer with God, but in the way we live our lives and love our families. It is much easier for us to simply choose something to give up. Then we can dismiss Lent. I'm giving up TV for Lent. I'm giving up the movies. I'm giving up snacks, soda. We give it up and exercise our willpower for 40 days to prove to ourselves and to God that we can do it. And at the end of Lent, we can return to what we gave up. But this year, we might reflect and ask the deeper question, what is God inviting me to change this Lent? How do I know what God might be stirring in me? I begin by listening to the movements in my heart. Where am I feeling uncomfortable with the choices I am making, with the things I have done, with the habitual ways I respond? The Lord will be speaking to me in those small, nagging moments of discomfort in my heart. It might be that we know deep down that we drink too much and that giving up alcohol would make us less irritable each night. Then giving up alcohol would be the right thing. Asking what we would like to change about ourselves this Lent requires a little reflection. What pattern of behavior in my life needs changing? What do I need more of in my life? Patience? Unselfishness? More loving behavior toward my spouse or children? But each of us can think of something that gets in the way of our being loving and self-sacrificing. Too often, the ordinary conflicts, divisions, and difficulties in our life result from simple selfishness on my part. I choose to fight. I choose to defend my opinion. I choose to use things I know about my partner, my children, my parents against them. I choose to hurt them. The results of that behavior are never good and always divisive. We can imagine a Lenten practice in which each of us would tell members of our family, those who we have most offended in these ways, that we're sorry, and ask them to help us to work with us to bring more unity and peace to our entire family life. We can ask, what would it cost me to change this behavior? What would it mean if I didn't walk around acting crabby all the time? What if I decided to be much more loving and patient? What if I did decide to give up something really destructive in my life, like alcohol, pornography, or online friendships? As I reflect, I might realize that changing a particular way I live is coming to me as a call from God, and I don't have to do it alone. God is moving my heart to reflect on these changes, and God will remain faithful and help me to stay open to the grace being offered to me for change. I need help. It may be something I don't want to change or acknowledge. I don't think I can change it. But that's where talking to God can make the difference. I am not doing this alone. I'm doing it with God. When I look at challenges with my spouse, or I'll put in their girlfriend, boyfriend, or friend, I might discover that one of the barriers to communication is that I interrupt and disagree. In some place in my head, I know that that is an annoying habit, but I'm not free enough to simply listen without objecting. Maybe I'm unable to receive what my spouse says without coming to the conclusion that my spouse is wrong. What if sharing a different point of view was not about winning an argument, but to advancing communication between us? In asking God for help, we might ponder one of the many healing gospels like Mark 2, verses 1 through 12. In this story, a group of friends carried a mat with a paralyzed man to Jesus, who was teaching inside a house. So many people crowded around the outside of the house that the friends were unable to get the mat inside. So they went up to the roof and moved aside the tiles and lowered their friend onto the mat to Jesus below. The words of this gospel say that the friends on the roof had broken through the tiles to lower their friend into the house for healing. Their breakthrough led directly to the healing. Where do we need a breakthrough? What is the barrier that keeps us from asking for healing? In our own lives, we need to break through our denials, defensiveness, and our unwillingness to look at ourselves. Discovering what the barrier is in my life is critical. If we don't know what the barrier is, these weeks of Lent are a great time to reflect upon it. When we identify the barrier, we have made a breakthrough. That's when Jesus can heal us. Why is this a good Lenten penance? Because it gets my attention where I live every day. It allows God's grace into my soul and into the place where my real life exists. That's where Jesus stands with me every day, waiting for me to be lowered from the roof so he can touch me and heal me. Now that is something, I said it was going to be short, it really wasn't that short, but that is something from Online Ministries Creighton EDU Collective. I can't read this, but we will put the link on it. Anyway, it is Lent, and the article is Beyond Chocolate. It doesn't say, I wasn't able to, it doesn't say exactly the person who wrote it. Well, I'll tell you what I like about this and what I want to focus on for the rest of this program. What I like that it's not about giving up something. We talked about that last week, even in light of things like eating disorders, where the guilt starts to come in. Well, I'm not giving, what are you giving up for Lent? Or you ask your kids, what are you giving up for Lent? I like that this person pointed out that there was, you know, when I was young, when I was a child, I did things as a child. And then when I grew up, I put away childish things. And as Maya Angelou says, when I did what I knew to do, and now that I know better, I do better. Well, it's not so much better, but that's a training program. It's like tying our shoes. It's like, are you going to learn to tie your shoes again this year? No, we don't need to, because we went through the exercise to get us to that point. And that taught us all kinds of things. So we don't, if we're stuck in that mode, that, yeah, that's what it's all about. We have to give something up, something tangible like chocolate, food, beer. We can go to the next intangible, more intangible, but it's still giving up something. But let's acknowledge why we're giving it up. As they pointed out, pornography, gambling, shopping too much, being crabby, different things that are more qualitative in nature, they're more easily discussed. But going deeper down into the layer, as we said in the beginning of the program, like the anthropologist, like the archaeologist, and looking at things that do really need get in our way. What are our barriers to healing? Where do we need the breakthrough? What repetitive motion injuries, carpal tunnel, things like that. You all know it in this day and age with things like using the computer all the time or the phone. What are our repetitive injuries that we do to ourselves internally and our families and our lives and our relationships day after day after day? So we're going to break that down on the other side of the break. Look at this a little bit more step by step. I also want to talk about deliberate living, which will help you to identify different areas you need to break through in order to get that healing you desire. This is Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break. These are the days.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Michelle. You are listening to Dr. Michelle Live, 573 for Bered 4, 573 for Bered 4. You can email dmlive at breadboxmedia.com. All right, so we're coming back. Got half of our show left. And I want to diverge just a tad. Give you a little caveat here. So I'm reading this to you, which I think is great. That's why I chose it. And that's why I'm reading it to you, because it has some good points we're going to get into in just a minute. This Beyond Chocolate, Going Deeper into Lent. It is Online Ministries, Creighton University. And we do have the link. We will have the link up for your show notes. And then you can look at other things because it's in Praying Lent. If you recall, I used this website around Christmas time where they had Praying Advent. I love the people who write these things. It's great. Let me tell you the only resistance I have. I don't have a problem with anything on this article, but here's the resistance I have from a person who has had a crazy life. Yes, I have had a crazy life, and I've had a lot of disasters, a lot of wilderness walks, a lot of great things and wonderful things, and a lot of secular time, and just a lot. And so I sometimes cannot relate to the things that have gone in the past. The things that were out of my control or that were partially in my control at one point, and my choices that I made under the assumptions that I had at the time about my life, living my situation, ended up shooting me in the foot, just like they do all of you. You have been divorced. You are thinking about divorce. You are thinking about a lifelong marriage and just got married. You are thinking about getting married. You can't necessarily relate to just being a better listener to your spouse when you just found out that your spouse has been sneaking pornography, or that you found a very suggestive text message, as someone had told me the other day, that they found a very suggestive text message, but nothing, you know, again, then you become the policeman. And you have to then spend your time searching it out and proving it. And it just gets mind-blowing. And it's painful and it hurts and it's not good. So it's hard to relate sometimes to some of these words when it implies, as you're just thinking, they're getting into the meat. They're touching my pain. They're touching my pain. They're touching where I live. They know, they know, they know. Now, they probably do, and they might know. This person who wrote this might totally know. We don't know what's in their lives. The struggles and the shocks and the awes and the traumas. And they're writing at a university. So they've got a certain way of presenting things. Every person at a university, every person in the pew, every person at a grocery store is just that, a person. And nobody escapes statistics. Well, let me put it this way. Maybe a few do. The little fringe on the ends of the spectrum, because there's always that bell curve. But most of us are going to have more or less of something. We're going to have more or less someone in our lives with a mental illness, a devastating physical illness, an addiction, a deception, deaths, just things that happen that has certainly happened in my life. Babies dying, brothers dying, great successes, lovely successes, health, good health, bad health, confusions, periods of lucidity, not knowing how your kids are going to get through it, and then they do. It's awesome to see how resilient we are. So I just have to tell you, you are resilient. You are resilient. You are a warrior. And don't let the sentence that hooks your fear, don't let the sentence that hooks your fear bring you down. Because a person that writes whatever you're reading, and there's, look at the internet, just you can't get away from it. The person who writes that may write a sentence because they're writing for everybody who's going to read it. And I'm saying this specifically for the person who found that text from their boyfriend. They found a text and they're now it's like, well, I can't prove it. I have to prove it. But they know it. They've always known it. The person's controlling anyway. And it's just a real big mess. And the question, of course, if they keep going down the road, will they end up getting married? You know, and is that so we should pull back and start thinking about things. So I think about someone like the person I spoke to and think reading this could get them fired up. Like, yes, God does want to show me more than just that I can take. He wants to give me something. He wants to free me. But as soon as they get into the few paragraphs about communication and it's my fault and maybe I should be more forgiving, all that is true. But then we start, especially people who are in confusing relationships. So I'm talking to you now. You're not quite sure. You have gut feelings. You feel put down, or you're alone, or your husband's left you, or your wife's left you, or something has happened, or there's a big illness. It seems too like you just want to turn it off then, because you feel like you're beyond hope in those matters, just about being a little nicer and being forgiving. Because people start thinking, oh, well, I will forgive that then. I'll forgive that text, and I won't mention it again. I will forgive that alcohol, the alcoholism and all the confusion and the chaos and destruction it brings to the family. I will be forgiving and we'll just keep everything just like it is. I will work on me. Well, you can only work on you. You can't change another person. But I understand how that stops you in your tracks because you feel I've already been there. This doesn't seem right. Sure, I can forgive someone for being addicted to pornography with four kids at home and with me as a wife or me as a husband. But you need more than that. You need to feel like you're really going to be healed. And as this person, the person who wrote this article, the gems that they gave us, don't get lost in those and feel like they're just talking about the light stuff in life. And I'm saying this to you. And I'm saying this to you also because you have also said to me, I go to my groups, I go to RCIA, and I hear people talking about their sin, or I ask the priest in the group, well, what exactly do you mean about mortal sin? I had somebody tell me this. And they use the example, well, you know, if you go and you need a ream of paper and you steal it from your workplace. And that person felt so alienated. Now, why? Why did you feel alienated? You felt alienated not because what the priest spoke was wrong. It wasn't wrong. Not because it isn't true. It was true. You shouldn't steal from your workplace, period. You know, you shouldn't do it. But because you were dying inside to find something deeper, because what you had done in your life was more far-reaching in your mind, was more destructive in your mind, left people alone, could have left people dead, could have left people stranded, could have left you alone and stranded, could have been anything. Could be abortion you can't take back. It could be being in war and killing that you can't take back when in a way that wasn't under the auspices of war. Could have been all kinds of things that bad, or it could have been stealing a ream of paper. But when you really are harboring these things that you feel inside are unforgivable, you are the person that this person is writing this article for. You're the person that Mark, the book of Mark, let me see where that is again, chapter 2, Mark 2, verses 1 through 12 is talking about. You're the one that is so paralyzed that you need, and you may have no friends, nobody who understands. It's just you alone with your pain, your particular secret inside. You're the one that needs to be lowered through the roof. Break through the rushes of the roof, where and lowered down to where Jesus, or raised up to, however you want to look at it. But you have to break through that crusty outside to get to where Jesus can actually heal you. And you don't have what it takes to do it yourself. So that's what we can get from this Lent. So it's not about giving up something. That's good, but it's not going to get to the core of what you need. And this is an opportunity for you to get more of what you need. The healing, the real healing that will lead to a risen soul. And I love what they said. And we will take the next part of the program, the last part today. We will touch on the deliberate life because that'll be nice and light and easy. It'll be good. It'll be actual action steps that you can take. But I love when they say, I show God how strong I am when I give something up. But it is more about me than a conversation with God. And then they go on later to say that we give something up and we prove to ourselves and to God we can do it, but we don't really make any real change inside. And that's what, when the author of this article said God wants to help transform us, we will pick that up on the other side of the break. You're welcome to call 573-4BREAD-4. See you on the other side of the break.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Michelle. You're with me, Dr. Michelle, live. We are walking this road together. Your story is my story. It really is. My story is your story. Who can't relate, whether you've had anything like this happen to you at all or not, with that young girl whose boyfriend had a questionable text on their phone? Who can't relate to that? I don't care, male, female, young, old. You are going to relate to that. Because it's all about fear, betrayal of love, shock, hurt, confusion, not wanting to be jealous and accusing versus wanting to find out what reality is. And that can be played against you, and you can play it against yourself. And that's some of the pitfalls, the snares, entanglements that we can do in our spiritual walk is blinding ourselves to truth in the name of being forgiving and self-sacrificing and overly critical. Because we may be all those things. We may be overcritical. You may be overcritical, you may be self-serving, you may be not self-sacrificing, you may be selfish, but that doesn't change the truth. And it doesn't change that if you enter into a covenant with another being, another person, with a possible future, I love you, I'm going to live with you, I want to live with you, I want to date you, I want to whatever, for a long time. This was a committed relationship. I'm talking about, who can't relate? Doesn't matter these other things. You may be part of an unhealthy relationship and part of a dysfunction. That's the breakthrough you need to find. You may be a product of too much trauma. You may be a product of your own secrets, to where you numb yourself out from everything else and you pick the wrong people and you ignore the flags that are pretty much blowing in your face and wearing off your makeup and doing all kinds of stuff. You might be that person, but that does not change your intuition, your natural God-given navigational tools, your relationship and conversation with God, and your right to see the truth, to know the truth, to wake up at any time, to get that breakthrough. So this is where I'm going. This is where I want to go this week. We're going to look at breakthroughs. We're going to look at living with the instinct that God gave you, the natural instinct God gave you, that we just dull. It's like wearing too much perfume. After a while, you're not smelling anything. And that's happened already in our world with our chemically made dryer sheets and extra, 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 extra clingy fragrances. That's another story, but I will tell you, physiologically, you are burning out certain areas of your senses. You just are. A longer time period, and it's less noticeable, and it's not a problem. As far as illegal or not illegal substance. But you are changing the chemical stuff that's happening, and you're burning out certain things. You habituate, it's called. And you habituate to your patterns. You habituate to your habits. Here's an example. Don't do this, but I did this once as a teenager, and I never did it again. Go to a grocery store, and I'm smelling all the spices because I just thought they were wonderful. It was before the time where they've actually sealed everything, and I'm opening them up, and I'm smelling the cinnamon, and I'm smelling this and that, and pretty soon, I can't smell anything. I'm going back to the cinnamon. It doesn't smell like anything. And you all know that when you eat like a piece of hard candy, and it's in your mouth for a certain period of time, after a while, you don't even taste it anymore. You don't taste the flavoring. Because we have a thing called habituation. Well, habituation is the process of making a habit. So you are causing your senses of alert to habituate to this as if it's normal, as if it's something to ignore. You don't have to have something new anymore. You just wear it out. You burn out those sensors. So we don't want to burn out our sensors. We want breakthroughs. Lent is the perfect time to do it. So let's focus on a couple things they said. Let me give you a couple tips for today. And then we're going to continue this as we go on. You can email dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. DM live at breadboxmedia.com. You're welcome to call 573-4BREAD-4 or text and let me know, how did you come to your transformation in life? What was your breakthrough? We want to not get hung up. We are desperate beings. We don't like to change. You don't like to change. Desperate beings. So that we can have 4 pages of something that's getting us. Oh, yes, I'm getting it now. And all you have to do is add 2 or 3 sentences that go, well, yeah, but that doesn't apply to me. Because you get to snap back into your habits again. It's comfortable and it feels good. And you're, okay, fine, I'm good now. So what was your breakthrough? How did you change you? How did you let God transform you? So let's focus on a couple of things that were said today, and then we'll focus on more tomorrow. Let's focus on the question, are you giving up an item? Are you giving something up? That's number one. Are you, or are you gaining something or adding something, such as exercise, that will be healthy, but it's only the first layer of the onion. So are we just focused on the act itself or the thing itself. So we can say, I did it. I accomplished that. I went to the gym 5 days a week, or I gave up chocolate for 40 days, or I did not log on to pornography. Now that's fabulous. All those are fabulous. And the more addictive something is, of course, you need extra help. You need groups. You can't, it's almost impossible to do it alone, but it is done. And you're never doing it alone if you ask God to help you walk along with you doing it. But to say, this is just about my willpower. I was able to, this was an exercise in willpower. Now ask yourself the question, am I listening? Am I open to a conversation with God? How about if I don't decide what I'm giving up? And how about if I listen? Are you listening? Are you willing to ask and recognize when God wants, what God wants to give you to transform you? And why does he want to do that? As this author said, this is what I think is so, I love this sentence. God wants to help transform, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here. God wants to help transform you. And he wants to help you transform your life to make you more free as a person. Not just freer with God, but in the way you live your life and you love. Love your families, love someone else, love the world. It's not about you exercising willpower only. It's asking the deeper question, what is God inviting me to change this Lent? How do I know what God might be stirring in me? And the author of this article, Beyond Chocolate, Going Deeper in Lent, says, I begin by listening to the movements in my heart. Where am I feeling uncomfortable with the choices I am making? With the things I have done, with the habitual ways I respond, the Lord will be speaking to me in those small, nagging moments of discomfort in my heart. You know, if we could only get there. You can get there. What do you feel uncomfortable with in the choices that you make day to day? Now, we get so busy. We get so busy, and we're going to talk so much more about that tomorrow. But you get so busy in your day that it's hard to start. You can ask that question in the morning, and by 2 hours go down, and it's a, you're back to you again. So let's look at this. Today, just take a look at little things you might have accomplished this year in your own life. Just a few little things. Perhaps you woke up to a thought, maybe a new commitment to yourself. Take a little stock of that. We'll look at this more tomorrow. We're going to dive into deliberate living, and we're going to find out what God is asking us to do, what he's saying, so we can be freer people. This is Dr. Michelle. See you tomorrow.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.